Hello, college baseball fans. Welcome to episode 52 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by College Baseball Hub. We have a fun super regional breakdown show ahead of you. You guys stay tuned. We got you covered. Let's get it, James.
In less than 12 hours, we are going to watch the most meaningful baseball games of these young stars' careers until they play in October for their major league clubs. And, you know, however many freaking years it takes, however long it takes these people to move these beasts up through the minor league system. But starting tomorrow afternoon, we are going to see some intense baseball games. The quality, the entertainment is going to be through the roof. Because they're fighting for Omaha, Ben. Are you excited?
No, I am excited. And you're right, James. Like, this is a time where these games mean something for the last time until, like, if they make it to Omaha, yeah, those games will mean something. But for all these kids that lose in a super regional, these are the last games that are going to have the high intensity, tons of energy, high leverage situations until they make it into the Major League Baseball playoffs. Like, until they get to October of a Major League season, no other game will be as high intensity as these. And I say that because throughout the whole minor league careers that they're going to have, they won't have, even the minor league playoffs, they're not going to have as many fans as they do at these games. They're not going to have as many teammates that they consider brothers as they do in these games. And the fan bases are going to be a little watered down. Like,
well, you're being nice. They have fan bases at their schools, and they're non-existent at minor league stadium, at the minor league games.
Minor league fans, for the most part, are fair weather fans. Like, if they know their local team is doing good, they'll show up to the game. Or if they know it's dollar beer night or dollar hot dog night, they might bring a group out. But, like, there's no diehard fans. There's more season ticket holders at Duty Noble Field than, like, the whole Appalachian League
combined. It's very simple. People have strong relationships and strong feelings towards their former schools than as opposed to a business.
Right.
It's that simple.
Yeah. So starting tomorrow at noon, we are going to see some kids lay it out on the line, live or die, and they know that if they don't make it to Omaha, they won't get this same feeling again on a baseball field until they make it to the major leagues in October, fighting for a National League championship, American League championship, or a World Series. So that's cool. That's something to think about that I think a lot of our fans kind of maybe haven't thought about on their own. So really think about it tomorrow. Like, when you see these kids, like, crying after a loss, like, don't call them babies. Like, think about it. This is meaningful to them. They will probably never get this feeling again. Like, there might be two guys on the field combined that get to play in October. And we're talking about the most talented college baseball players in the country. So
no, you're dead on. You are dead on. And in fact, we're going to break down all of the supers, and we're even going to have a little draft segment. But a lot of the kids that are playing tomorrow, they passed up multi-million dollars a couple years ago to have these moments, right? It's part of the decision that you make to forego 3 to 4 or 5 years from rookie ball to double A and to go, you know, get yourself pampered and go through the college athlete, student athlete lifestyle to play in these games.
Right.
Starting with East Carolina and Louisville at noon Eastern tomorrow.
Yeah. So basically the way this format of the show is going to go is we're going to break down in depth every single super regional. There's 8 of them, and there's going to be 4 starting tomorrow. There'll be 4 more starting Saturday, and they're going to run Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday if the region or super regionals that start Saturday go 3 games.
4 days in a row of baseball. It's glorious.
Well, we're guaranteed 3. There's a chance that we won't have any on Monday if the teams that start Saturday win Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, but not going to happen.
I have a good feeling that these super regional matchups are so, like, they're so evenly matched that, like, I imagine there's going to be a lot of game threes, like, more than we're used to seeing.
Yes, because before the show, Ben and I were literally flipping coins on, like, at least half of these matchups. as far as how confident we were in our the teams that we think are going to come away victorious. So I guess you, if you want to go ahead and start with this madness, I mean, it's just appropriate that the Super Regionals are going to be total madness with 12 number one seeds advancing.
That is so amazing to me.
75%, my friend.
12 of them. They all moved on.
They did. I actually predicted 12 number one seeds advancing, but I didn't get all – I obviously didn't get them all right, because if I did, I wouldn't be sitting on this show. We would be in Vegas, isn't
that right? You're right. We still almost went to Vegas. But yeah, so the 12 one seeds, if you haven't been keeping up with college baseball, maybe this is your first time listening to our podcast, they're going to be UCLA, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Arkansas, LSU, Vanderbilt, East Carolina, Louisville, Stanford, Mississippi State, and North Carolina. Then we have four teams that did not host a regional move on through the bracket and advance. None of them are hosting, but it's going to be Michigan, who was a 3 seed, Florida State, who is also a 3 seed, Duke, who is also a 3 seed, and then the lone 2 seed. And I don't know if anybody would have ever projected only one 2 seed advancing, but that lucky 2 seed was Auburn. The Auburn Tigers took care of business last week and just rolled through that Atlanta regional.
So we've got one 2 seed that makes it into the Super Regional round, and three final teams in the tournament making it to the Super Round as well. That is freaking interesting, man. That is so cool.
Wait, say that again.
We've got three of the final teams in the whole tournament made it to the Super Round. Florida State, Michigan, and Duke were three of the last five teams in, and here they are in the Supers. Only other team that wasn't a 1 seed is Auburn. So you've got like kind of one, we've got a 2 seed, three people that honestly might not have been in this discussion 10 days ago, and then you've got the big boys.
It's
a good little mix.
Yeah. So before we get into some in-depth detailed coverage of each super regional, James, if you had to pick one of these teams to like kind of, if you were like a City of Omaha resident and wanted to adopt a team, like maybe you weren't a diehard fan of anybody in college baseball and you wanted just to root for one team, who are you choosing? Like, if, out of the 16 teams, like, who is a team that is very likable, like very root, like I want to root my heart out for these guys, I want them to win it all, who's it going to be?
I can't help but feel that team is Mississippi State. After the run they went on last year with the interim head coach and going all the way to Omaha, not expected to do it. And then, I mean, Jake Mangum is so personable, so likable. Chris Lemonis, the same way. I mean, Ethan Small has turned into one of the biggest bulldogs in the country. Like, literally
bulldog.
Just challenging people on and like on his way off the field. I love it. And, you know, Mississippi State travels well. You know, they've also never won a national championship, so that's something to root for.
That just blows my mind. Like, I thought for sure, like, the way that ESPN has painted a picture, that Palmeiro and Will Clark won like 6 championships over there. And
that special is literally on like 3 days a week.
Yeah, and I just assumed, like, I wasn't born yet, but I assumed Thunder and Lightning won like 6, like, they got double redshirted and won 6 national championships over there. Like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't born yet.
If I can guarantee it, we could have a drinking game. If there is a rain delay during the College World Series of Supers, that freaking show will be played. I can promise you.
Yeah.
But that's to answer your question. That's got to be the team. They're a fun-loving team. You know, they kind of have this element of, like, we've never won it before. That's a part of it. New coach, storyline from last year, Cinderella's story, finish it a year later. That's the team.
Okay. And you didn't even mention the fact that Elijah McNamee is about to go on another June tear, because once again, the kid didn't get drafted, even though he hit cleanup for Mississippi State a majority of the season. Like, you know, that's just going to fuel his fire, and he's going to hit probably 6 walk-off home runs in the way to Omaha. You can just see it fit. Like, I can picture it now. Like, Elijah McNamee is going to catch the 3rd out of the 9th inning, the last game in Omaha, and just like chunk the ball up as high as he can.
Oh yeah.
And it just kind of like the whole Fresno State moment where the right fielder like catches the ball and launches it into the stands. I can just see that now. Like he has a chip on his shoulder.
Oh yeah.
So that's a good.
You're getting me fired up.
That's a good answer. I mean, definitely Mississippi State is kind of America's team when talking about. I'm probably gonna make a lot of people mad, but you know they are the cream of the crop. Like those are they have the best traditions and the biggest stadium and SEC Network and ESPN like loves covering their games and going down to Stark Vegas and all that stuff. So I can see them as kind of like America's team, like someone that people find themselves rooting for. But so I'm going to take a different approach, James. The team that I find the most rootable for, and I don't even know if rootable is a word, but right now it is a word.
That's how excited you are about these.
That's how excited. Is the East Carolina Pirates, not only because they are the smallest team, like small as far as conference-wise and like school-wise goes, the East Carolina Pirates play in the American Conference, American Athletic Conference. Everybody else is in a Power 5, I believe, unless I'm forgetting about somebody. Yeah, everybody else comes from either the SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, or Pac-12. So they're the only team that right now is in a Group of 5 conference. They have an unbelievable logo, very cool logo. I've talked about it multiple times on the show already.
Great fan base.
The jungle back behind left field, very cool. Too bad they won't be playing there this weekend. The players on the team are just very high energy guys, and you see it with like their home run room that they have. After a player hits a home run, they go and party in this one little room. It's cool. You see some videos of it on social media. But like between Alec Burleson, who's the best two-way player in the country, and like just great head of hair. I just want to throw that in there. One of the greatest heads of hair we've seen in a college baseball uniform in a long, long time. He'll pitch for him, he'll play outfield, he'll play first base, he'll come in relief. Guy can swing the bat. And then Jake Agnos, we saw him pitch his final game at the ECU Pirates Stadium and got one of the coolest standing ovations from the home crowd because he's the heartbeat of that team. He's the guy that
are knowledgeable.
Yeah, their fans are so knowledgeable. But back on Jake Agnos, the kid is like the heartbeat of their team. Like he is the guy that's in the dugout keeping everybody loose. But the moment he gets on, like starting a game on the mound, like he's all intense, you know, very, very focused.
Good luck trying to beat that kid. That's all I got to say.
Right. No, exactly. One of the best left-handed arms left in this tournament. And that's saying a lot because there's some great arms left in the Super Regional. But Cliff Godwin, we have him penciled in as Coach of the Year. We felt like he did an unbelievable job leading them to 50-plus wins this year, destroying the American Athletic Conference. And I don't know, just that team, they're just very, very fun to root for.
You know what? You've got me convinced.
Yeah. Like, I think that if you're not a college baseball fan or maybe your team is out of the tournament already, it would be really cool to see them win a national championship, kind of like it was Coastal Carolina a few years ago. Like, just the talent-wise, matched up with anybody, but the kind of the respect that they're given year in and year out,
it's
not
so
much.
It's their time, man. It's their time to announce themselves on the stage.
This is the best team they've ever had and probably the best team they're ever going to have for a while. Like, I think they had three or four guys drafted day one or two of the MLB draft. So the East Carolina Pirates are the team, kind of the team of destiny, in my opinion. But if, like, we're going off of just logic, I have a completely different say in who my national champion pick is going to be.
Yes, but all know logic is boring, and the best team doesn't always win.
Right.
Facts.
But so what we're going to do now is just break down all eight Super Regionals and eventually lead us to who we think is going to win the national championship. So, James, if you don't mind, I'm going to get us started with the UCLA versus Michigan Super Regional, which, in fact, for the longest time, I thought this Super Regional was going to be hosted at Michigan because I didn't think UCLA was going to come back in their regional. I thought Loyola was going to be playing Michigan in a Super Regional, and I thought the great fans of the Michigan Wolverines were going to see a postseason game being played at their home field, which 3 years ago, we would have never thought was going to happen.
This is true.
So everybody knows a lot about UCLA this year. They've been the number one team in the nation in the polls for like 8 straight weeks, even though I think Vanderbilt has put a better resume together. But, you know, it's not our decision. Well, I guess technically sometimes it is because we have our own ranking system. But the so I guess some key points on this super regional is, one, is Michigan going to play as loose as they did in their Oregon State regional? Is mm-hmm. the I think Michigan, as far as like pure athletes go, Michigan has the best pure athletes left in this super regional. Like, not just this super regional, but like out of all the super regionals, they have some freaking athletes, man. Between like Jordan Brewer, I believe that's his name, their three-hole hitter. Is that right? Yep. Jordan Brewer.
Yep.
And they have some dudes that, like, if this was a football, if this was a football tournament or like a basketball, if it turned into a basketball tournament, I'm taking Michigan all day, every day.
And but, I feel they're definitely not getting respected. And I fully expect Michigan to at least take a game. And like, this is going to, I think this is going to be a 3-game series. I think Michigan can really play. I also think that they're not scared after going out to the West Coast Regional. And I know they didn't beat Oregon State exactly, but they did win the regional. I think they're playing with house money. I saw some videos of them prepping for the Super Regional, throwing some weighted balls, doing some progressive stuff. So, you know, it's kind of no coincidence that they've been putting up some good pitching numbers. I mean,
They stayed out in the West Coast, right? Like, they didn't fly back to Michigan, I don't think.
I think you're correct, my good
friend. I'm like 90% sure they just stayed. They flew from Oregon to Los Angeles. I think I remember seeing that somewhere.
Okay, well, let me finish. I've got a hot take to finish this segment on Michigan and UCLA. Even though UCLA is technically the better team, I think Michigan is 2 or 3 times more likely to pull an upset against the number one team than Duke is to pull the upset against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take at all.
All right.
I don't think that's...
Right. Well, it could be. It could be considerable. Why is the number one team more likely to lose than the second overall team?
True.
True.
But, so I guess if everything goes to plan, UCLA should not struggle in this series. I know you think it's going to go 3 games, but...
I think it'll go 3 games.
I don't... I think I disagree with you. I think UCLA wraps this up in 2 games. There was just a point during the UCLA regional where I looked at the TV after staring at it literally for 12 hours because UCLA was the last game on of the day. And it just kind of clicked in my head. I was like, nobody's beaten this UCLA team for a long time. Because when they get down, and they got down quite a bit in their own regional, they just kind of like, I don't know, next thing they put like 4 base runners on and score 2 runs and be like, oh yeah, well, now we're winning. Haha.
I mean,
It was almost like they were toying with the other team, like trying to keep it close. They're like, come on, guys, like score a couple runs so we can go back and hit and score 3 and take a lead.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I can't pick against them because this is one of the 2 super regionals I have predicted correctly to set up with the pair of teams. And I had UCLA winning and going on. But, you know, I'm excited to watch this one. Like, I'm going to be checking this one with a lot of interest, but at the end of the day, I've got to continue to go with the Bruins. It's on my bracket.
And, and John Savage, UCLA's head coach, absolute savage. The guy gave one of the best interviews on ESPN I've ever seen. He was just basically like, yeah, we're getting like phone calls during the game of like every single one of our guys getting drafted. So like, it's kind of cool to be playing a game while our guys are getting drafted, like kind of like humble brag. Like, yeah. Hey, we've had like 6 dudes get drafted since this game started. And, oh, yeah, the guy that he got his name called 30 seconds later hit a go-ahead home
run.
Second baseman. I always forget his name, Burke or something. And he was just like, yeah, that's kind of like what we do. Like, we're just going to do us. And, like, we know we're the best. So I don't think anybody gives them trouble until at least the College World Series. I don't think Michigan. I think Michigan plays close, like, game one. But there does come a point where if your players are less talented than the other team, you can't. I don't think you're going to beat them twice, but we'll see. Next matchup is probably the most interesting one, though, for me.
I'm boycotting this matchup.
Yeah, I am too, because it's just total bananas that we have to see the 2 best Big 12 teams play against each other in a super regional. Not because they are the 8th and 9th best team in the nation. It's because the NCAA committee wanted to make sure that this matchup happened by setting them up in a super regional.
I there was never a good explanation for it. Like, oh, because we wanted to.
Like, why can't you just move one of them down to 7, move Louisville to 8, and then keep the other one at 9? Like, why can't that happen? Because that's what should have happened. But no, like, we want to make sure they match up in a super regional, so we get that super regional crowd, you know, very, very pumped up. And it's like, no, both of these teams, I think, deserve to be in Omaha. And the sad news is we don't get to see both. But I guess the good news is we get to see one. And
well, my take on it is, like, it's make something fun. You know, this is what about Texas Tech versus North Carolina? It'd been great. You know, Oklahoma State against Ole Miss, LSU, it would have been great. Like, stop showing me the same movie. You know, put on a different movie. I've seen Revenge of the Sith 12 times. Like, show me freaking, you know, Last Jedi.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, if you're flipping through the channels and you see Star Wars on, you're going to turn it to that.
Yeah.
The best part about, I guess I'm playing devil's advocate here, but the best part about seeing this game for another time is that, like, you feel like you've seen it all, which makes you know that, like, you're not going to see the same thing. And, like, you know, there's, like, in your head, you're like, there's going to be 1,000 runs scored in this game, but because both offenses are unbelievable. But you're going to turn it there and be like, oh, crap, it's 3-2 in the eighth. Like, this is exciting. Let's see how these teams react in this situation. I've seen them both blow teams out all season long. I don't know.
You know, maybe. You make great points, so I'm putting you on the spot. Who going to win?
Well... I guess I know who's going to win, because I think that I have a new national champion in my head. I think Texas Tech is the team that I'm going to roll with. Like, if we had to start a new bracket right now, I think Texas Tech's my new national champion, because
you're catching that Red Raider fever.
I am, because, dude, if you look at it on paper, which I am, I have a left bracket, right bracket. We'll see who matches up in Omaha.
On paper.
And I'm looking at, like, potential matchups. The way Texas Tech played in their own regional last week was some of the greatest baseball I've seen played all year. Like, I feel like from top to bottom, all different aspects of the game, they looked as easygoing and effortless as I've seen a team play in a long time.
I think, and they definitely have the biggest collection of carefree, not scared ballers.
A lot of just quiet confidence going on.
You know, they could take down anyone.
Anybody. And they, like, know it, too.
Yeah.
And so I think – and I might play it safe and just say the winner of this super regional is going to find themselves in the finals of the College World Series, but I'm not going to say that quite yet, because I think that's just too safe. So I'm going to go hot take. I think Texas Tech wins this series in 3 games, just because they're at home, and Oklahoma State, I think, is 0-7 in their last 7 games there, or something ridiculous like that. Maybe 1-8.
Exactly right.
And then I see Texas Tech matching up with UCLA first game of Omaha. I think Texas Tech beats them. I think they have the experience. I think they have the willpower. And
dude, you're looking right into that crystal ball tonight. I love it.
Yeah, and then I think that, you know, Ole Miss, Arkansas, FSU, LSU, the only team out of those four that I see giving Texas Tech any problems is Arkansas. But the later it goes in that tournament, like, if they match up game 3 and then, like, 5 and 6 in Omaha, and I might be confusing people now, but it makes sense in my head. Just roll with me right now.
You know what?
The deeper that Texas Tech plays Arkansas in that left side of the bracket, the more it favors Texas Tech. And I think because Arkansas has good front-of-the-line arms, and they're going to have to use their good bullpen arms early and often, all that stuff. I think when it comes to slugfest, you know, game 3 and 4 of Omaha, that's where Texas Tech's going to thrive. Because you throw some subpar pitcher at them, like, they're going to put 14, 15 runs up.
You know what? Take my money and put it on Texas Tech, Ben. You've got me convinced.
I mean, I think Vegas has Texas Tech at, like, plus 800 or plus 1,200 to win the College World Series.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh.
It's like, dude, that's just way too high. And I know this is all just speculation and, you know, what if. But
what in life isn't speculation?
But, like, let's make this show a little fun, and let's get away from you know, what's chalk? Like, what's put out on paper? Like, this team should be, like, yeah, UCLA should beat Texas Tech on paper. But, like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, no. Like, they're gonna roll them. Like, Texas Tech is going to have, I don't know. I'm getting that.
In one game, yeah. We're not saying that if they played 60 times, they'd roll them 40. But I think you make a great point.
And if all you have to do is make it to the finals of the College World Series, and then it becomes best 2 out of 3, and then who knows what happens? You just have to be better in 2 days than the other team. So,
damn it, why'd you have to wait until week 52 to change my mind? Wait, episode 52.
Week 52. 1 full year. But anyways, I took my time. I took my time. What's your time? What who do you got winning this Super?
Dude, I mean, you laid it all out. I'm rolling with Texas Tech. You're rolling with Texas Tech. I will introduce our next series, and I've got a hot take too. This is slam dunk. Ole Miss, Arkansas. This will be the least entertaining Super Regional of the week.
Least?
Arkansas is going to mop the floor.
Oh, well, least entertaining, like on the field?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a score. Like score.
I thought you meant like if you were to go to all 16 Super Regionals.
No. Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay.
The parity on the field is going to be wide.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. I'm gonna disagree with you, and you know me. Like I've been, you know, quote unquote.
You about to defend Ole Miss right now?
No. Yeah. A little bit. A little bit. And like everybody knows the rules. Like we expelled Ole Miss early in the season, kind of just to find like a villain to root against, because every good show and every good movie has a villain. And we felt like Ole Miss was just fit the mold. And like their fans are great, but like they, you know, they're fun to rattle. Like at any sport, Ole Miss fans are very fun to rattle, and they played along well. And now that I like sit down and look at this Ole Miss team, I'm not saying that they're the most talented. I'm not even saying they're the most fun to watch. What I'm saying is like they're very blue collar, and
literally,
like, oh golly, they're powder blue collar. and man, you just made me lose my train of thought. I got it.
And they do have the longest tenured coach remaining in the conference, though.
That's 19, true.
19
and
years.
Everybody wants him fired, and then he shows up to a Super Regional like, hey guys, I'm back. Like,
right. The man has seen some things.
Yeah, but I guess my main point is I think Ole Miss is going to make this competitive. I think that – I'm not even going to say I think. I know Ole Miss is going to make this competitive.
I think they'll make it competitive in the sense that Arkansas is going to get them out, you know, 27 times. But no.
Oh, my gosh. You're a savage, James. But, yeah, they just have a lot of blue-collar guys. Like, I love the fact that they hit their best hitter leadoff. Like, Thomas Dillard should be hitting in the middle of the order, but they're just like, he's our best on-base guy. We're putting him at the top. Yeah. We want him on base as much as possible.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
I always forget their catcher's name, but he is just an absolute
Cooper
beast.
Johnson.
Cooper Johnson. How could I forget? What a name.
You didn't forget. You just wanted to make sure I knew it,
No. Cooper Johnson, maybe the best defensive catcher that nobody's talking about right now.
Well, we're talking about him.
Like, shout out to you, Cooper. Good luck trying to steal some bases, Arkansas, because the kid's got a hose. I'm taking Arkansas in three games, but honestly, dude, I would not be shocked if Ole Miss went out there and made it a very, very, like, maybe 12-inning game, 15-inning game, somewhere in there.
You know, you make a good point about Cooper Johnson and his hose of an arm, but he's going to lose about 5 pounds this weekend doing cardio, running back and forth between home plate and the mound, greeting new pitchers, because Arkansas is going to roll this weekend. Mark it down, Arkansas fans. You can hate me if you lose. I'll take the blame. I will take the blame.
Well, you're not the jinx, so they don't have to worry about it.
I know, but you know how superstitious people, like, dude, bring in Ryan Olenek, who throws 89 mile an hour fastballs down the middle to get out the heart of the order in a close game. Just bring it. Just I know he's a competitor. I know he throws strikes. Guess what? If you throw strikes, they're strikes for reasons, because they're good pitches to hit. So the strikes ain't always good, guys.
That's funny. Okay. The whole Cooper Johnson cardio thing got me rolling. That was funny.
But I'm going to keep rolling. I am most excited for you will not be able to get my eyes off the Baton Rouge Super Regional. We have the New York Yankees and the New York Yankees. We got the Death Star versus the Death Star. It's awesome. It's Alex Box Stadium. You've got Mike Martin and the Fighting Tim Beckers against Paul Maneri and, you know, 20,000 drunk Cajuns. I'm watching every bit of this game. This will be a three-game series, guaranteed. Hey,
how's this atmosphere compared to Tim Becker's club games last year? Like, golly, what a 52-week swing for for old Tim Becker.
Dude, I'm so terrified he's going to make an error that costs them the series or something. Like, I'm just so... He's a good player and a good story, but I'm just so nervous for him. Like,
Give me like a Mike Martin pep talk right now. Like, what does he say to his team in the locker or on the bus about to get off the bus?
Oh my give me a
Mike Martin, like,
the Mike Martin pep talk, dude. It's got to be something like, we've got a game today. Let's just go out there and win it.
I bet it's something like. I don't know why, dude. This is my favorite thing. That we should have been doing this all season. But I got good reviews on the Mike Martin story from last episode, and like people loved how we just played along with it. So I figured I'd give the fans one more time of like a Mike Martin impersonation, and until they're out of the tournament. So like I can just see him. He definitely sits front row on the bus, like, and just talks the bus driver's ear off the whole trip. Like, the whole trip. Like, Mike Martin is, like, the most hated coach a bus driver could ever have. Because you know him. He's probably talking about, like, FM radio, like, talk shows that he listens to.
Like, see what they were talking about on the news the other day?
And, yeah, pretty much. So I guarantee you, Mike Martin is going to be seated on the bus. His whole team is about to get off. And then he just stands up right at the front while everybody's standing up. And he says, boys, sit down. I got something for you. Boys sit down and they're like, all right, coach, what you got? He's probably like, guys, you know, I've been at this for over 40 years now, and you guys are probably the worst group I've had. You guys, from top to bottom, from day one, you guys are the worst group I've ever had.
From
but
Tim to Drew, you all suck.
From Tim to Drew, you guys, everybody between sucks. And let me tell you, I've had some good teams. And they've never won, ever. I've never won a College World Series. But this group, something about you bad baseball players just has me excited to maybe once I will win a College World Series. And with this group, it would be my biggest achievement because you guys all suck. And I think I don't know if it's spot on, but definitely something along the lines of, you guys suck. I don't know how we made it this far. I had a vacation planned back in March for this week because I didn't think we were going to make it this far. So you guys go out and play. I'm not even going to coach you because I don't want to hurt my resume anymore.
Oh, my God. I didn't think you could top last week, but you did.
This is definitely the worst team he's ever coached, I think. But they're still in it. Like, would you be surprised, James Berry, if Florida State won a national championship this year?
No, not at all. I've seen crazier things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would just be so fitting.
You know what I can just see? I can just hit the opening freaking infomercial for the College World Series is Carl Ravitch's voice. And then Tim Becker's fat freaking smile. Boy, do we have a story for you. Yeah. Club baseball player turned walk-on, you know, drives Florida State to the world. Wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, not at all. But
so who do you pick and win?
I'm Florida State. I'm sorry, LSU fans, but I'm not going to pick against Florida State until they lose.
Nope, so, I'm not either. I'm picking Florida State as well.
I think that's pretty much the only upset I have out of all of these. But all right, moving on to more serious talk. We got the Vanderbilt Commodores and the Duke Blue Devils. Thanks for playing, Duke. Vanderbilt's way better than you. This might, like, you know how you have to win 2 out of 3 to advance from a
Super. That is the rule.
I think this is just a one game series. Like, you know how, like, in Texas high school baseball, for like you listeners that don't know how Texas high school baseball works. Once you get to the playoffs, like, the two teams, like, decide if they want to play a one-game series or a three-game series. And usually, like, the bad teams will, like, want to play a one-game series against, like, a good team because, like, it only takes, like, one game, like, a couple errors, and, like, you win. And Duke right now, if they had a chance to play a one-game series, they would do anything in the world because they know out of three, like, you have to beat this Vanderbilt team twice. Are you kidding me? Like, this Duke team? No way. And so if it was the option of playing one game, Duke would take that 11 times out of 10. But too bad. They got to play three, and I don't see any way possible that Duke takes two games at Vanderbilt No way.
Well, we agree. Duke's pitching coach, real good. I have a breakdown on how you beat Vanderbilt.
Okay.
This is how you beat Vanderbilt.
Well, I don't have to beat Vanderbilt, so.
No, luckily for us, we don't.
We don't have to beat them. So who are we telling this to? Do we have Duke listeners?
This is for Duke. Here's how you're gonna beat Vanderbilt. So they bat J.J. Blade second and Martin first. Those are clearly their two best bats.
Right. And
basically, here's how it works. The innings that you get screwed is the first inning. There are more runs scored in the first inning than any other inning. Okay? So you're not going to beat Duke. I mean, excuse me. You're not going to beat Vanderbilt early. But you can certainly lose early. If you get down 3-0, 2-0, 4-0 in the first inning, you're done for.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening. So what you have to do is you have to get those guys. You have to get them out 1-2-3 to start the game. And the reason it's so big, even if they don't score, but let's say they send 5 men up to the plate, you don't want that. Because that means the next inning they're starting off with number 6 guy or maybe even number 7 guy. And by the second inning, you've got the top of the order up again.
With runners on base.
If you need to get them 1-2-3 to start the game, you do whatever it takes. You better throw the right exact matchup, and the coaches have the right data and technology to find a good matchup. The first inning might as well be the ninth inning. It's your only chance.
So is this a good chance to have like an opener?
Opener, freaking best arm, whatever, but like you cannot afford to like even if you give up one run against Vanderbilt, like, yo, clap your hands, you only gave one. No, just wait. Like, they're gonna get 5 at bats now. That ain't good.
This might be the most insightful thing anybody's ever said on this podcast.
Well, we talked about this. We talked about it a little bit. The first inning has the most runs, and then picture it, the second inning scores a little bit less. And the third inning you score even less than that. And then the fourth inning, it goes back up, but it's not as high as inning number one. So it's kind of like if you're going to save yourself, you have to get them you have to shut them down in the first inning. And it only makes sense that innings 2 and 3 are less because typically your worst hitters will bat in the third inning, especially if the first two innings have gone down 1-2-3. So they need to be, it has to be fourth inning and Martin and Blade are getting their second at bat.
Now, how great would it be if, like, Duke put in, like, a sidearm lefty to face, like, they start a righty against Martin, like, a sidearm righty, and then they bring in a lefty immediately in the first inning. Like, go matchup, and then put in a starter after that. Like, make sure those first two guys are out, and then just roll with your starter.
I will just guarantee you this. If one of those two guys gets on base in the first inning, Vanderbilt will win the game.
Wow.
At me.
I hope they go back-to-back home runs and then they lose the game.
I'm putting my foot down on it.
Okay. Okay. Can we move on to ECU and Louisville? Is that cool? Is your foot still down?
My foot is down.
Can you pick it up so I can move on to Louisville?
Yeah, I'll get it out of the way.
All right. Let's keep this train moving. I have Louisville winning the national championship in my bracket. I've had them winning. Oh, my God. Am I nervous to say that? My voice just cracked.
Yeah, dude. You're thinking about Texas Tech.
I have Louisville winning. Like, I can't even say that with a straight face anymore. Louisville's going to be without their closer because he got ejected and now has a 4-game suspension.
Dude, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. Literally.
That's why I did it. Come on, now.
That's what he said to the umpire. That's horrible. And it's going to be real tough, I think, for Louisville to beat East Carolina twice. Even though Louisville does have Reed Detmers, who's one of the best starting pitchers in the nation, something about ECU, I think they had a little wake-up call losing to the Big Q opening game, Quinnipiac. And after that, they scored like 100 runs a game.
They had to reel off 4 straight Ws.
And they did it real easy. Real easy.
Thanks for playing, Campbell.
Like, they have Alec Burleson, they have Jake Agnos, they have Spencer Brickhouse, they have Bryant Packard. It felt like every time I refreshed Twitter, it was a new ECU guy getting drafted.
And speaking of Twitter in East Carolina, can we have a kangaroo court moment?
Sure.
Shout out to our boy Dimitri, who is by far the glue that holds us together. But he had a kangaroo court moment.
Oh, he did.
He tweeted that Jake Kuchmaner got a standing ovation as a senior. He's a sophomore.
Kid's a sophomore. Like, he's a sophomore.
Delete. Dimitri. Way to get him.
Like, golly. Cooch probably hates us right now. He's a big fan of the show. Sorry, Cooch. Like, we love you. It was Dimitri. sorry,
but
Cooch.
But anyways, we like to make fun of ourselves. You can't take yourself too seriously around here. Right. You know, it's baseball. Right. It's a game.
Right.
I don't know who to pick in this one. I can tell you what I do know. I do know that I'm not concerned that the game's at Louisville. Not concerned.
Like, you're not scared of, like, people parking on the bridge and looking away from, like, 800 feet?
The bridge isn't exactly, you know, the House of Pain.
Yeah. I love how, like, the ESPN announcers make it seem like that's a big home field advantage. It's like, look, like, can we get a camera shot at the bridge? There's people parked on the side watching the game. Like, how cool is that? It's like, dude, they don't see anything. Like, you think your seats are bad when you're sitting at, like, the top row of an MLB stadium? Like, yeah, like, put three more stadiums on top of that, and that's what you're looking at for the bridge. Mm. Like, that's how far away you are.
Well, I tell you, they do have a cool batter's eye. That's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, and they have a train that comes by and waves. Like, he honks his horn, and everybody waves, so that's pretty cool, right? Minute Maid Park and Louisville Cardinal, the two train fields.
Oh, dude, and freaking a College Station. Honestly.
College Station. Yeah.
This is the best coaching matchup of the week.
Yes. I'm glad you brought it up because we were getting sidetracked. No, you're right. I think this.
Dan Million Dollar Man McDonald and our coach of the
year. Let me look.
What's wrong?
I don't know, man. There's
dude,
some...
No. Don't back. Our coach of the year versus Dan Million Dollar Man McDonald. He's the highest paid coach in college baseball.
Yeah.
No one has a better presence in college baseball than Dan McDonald. No one.
Yeah.
None.
I would say, like, what do you mean presence?
When even if something goes wrong, it looks like he knew it was coming.
I don't know, dude. I kind of like Tim Tadlock and Josh Holliday.
I like them. If I'm going to war, I'm following Dan McDonald anywhere.
Okay.
No questions asked.
No, I would too. I would too.
No questions asked.
You know who I'm not following into war?
Me?
Paul Maneri. I don't know if I could take him seriously.
Dude, there's one LSU Twitter fan that follows us, and I feel like all he does is tweet this image of Paul Maneri jumping up and down at an umpire, and it's just so funny.
Yeah, and it is.
It's just a gif.
He reminds me of what's his name? Bobby Valentine.
Like, oh, that is a great comp. We're going to start doing manager comps instead of player
comp. Sorry. I mean, I just wanted to throw that in there. I love Paul Maneri. Great guy. Great college baseball character. One of the best recruiters in the nation. I don't know if I could follow him into war, though. I think I would be like, Paul, seriously? We're going to go into war? Us too? You and I, we're going to war? No, thanks.
I think I'm a pass. Do we want to talk about – are we kind of bringing that up because of his comments about the draft and all that, or are we going to save that?
We'll save that. We'll save it. Move on. Go ahead and talk about your – sorry, I interrupted you, but
– Who are they – I was avoiding picking a winner because these are two incredibly matched teams. I'm going to roll with Louisville.
Okay. I'm going to roll with – if it depends on the circumstance. If we're talking about, like, Vegas lines, like, because Vegas released the series lines, which means, like, who's going to win the series. And I think ECU was something like plus 280, which means, like, they're almost 3-1 odds. I think if I was in that circumstance, I would definitely bet on East Carolina.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing – you know, no money involved, no nothing, no pride involved – I'm taking Louisville.
Oh, there's always pride involved, man.
Yeah, that's true. Louisville is my national champion on my bracket. I've been saying it since day one. So I'm going to roll with the Cardinals. It's just going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for them to advance. So anyways, probably the most interesting matchup because they come across different sides of the country. We have the Stanford Cardinal and Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm going to start it off with this because I feel like a lot of people are expecting us to say Stanford's no good. They had a bad strength of schedule. They looked bad in their own regional. Mississippi State's at home in front of a huge crowd. Stanford's probably not going to travel very well. There's the best players in the nation, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say up front. I'm
not picking so fast, my friend.
Yeah, I'm picking Mississippi State to win this regional, or super regional. Sorry, I keep saying regional. I'm an idiot. But Stanford, don't take these guys lightly because they can swing the stick. And I'll tell you this because, yeah, their offensive numbers might not jump out to you on paper, but the ballpark they play in is an absolute death trap. A graveyard. You can't – it's hard to put a ball out of Stanford's field because they have that, like, thick western atmosphere, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, the air.
The air is thicker up there, man, and the wind always blows in, and there's trees everywhere.
It's not as hot.
You put them out in Duty Noble with low fences and closer fences and less dense air, the ball's going to be jumping off their bat. Like, they're going to be pumped. Like, the nerds of Stanford are going to be pumped to play in this atmosphere because they haven't seen anything like it. And either two things are going to happen. Either they're going to win game one and build on that confidence and give Ethan Small everything in the world that he hasn't seen yet.
Dude, if they beat Ethan Small, they will win the Super.
I agree. I'm still picking Mississippi State, but I'm saying this now. Stanford is going to be one of the toughest tests that Mississippi State's seen this year, and I'm including teams like Arkansas and Ole Miss and Texas A&M, all those like really good SEC teams.
Georgia.
I think Georgia, Stanford is going to give them everything they can handle. So go ahead, James.
No, I agree. Stanford had 9 draft picks. Mississippi State had 11. Plenty of pro talent. I think the bats are like low-key. Stanford's pro bats are better than Mississippi State's pro bats.
100%. 100%.
And the numbers like don't, you know, flesh that out, but there's a little bit of like baseball acumen that goes into it, and we don't factor it into our rankings, obviously, right? Yeah. We haven't all year, but we're talking about winning games now, not, you know, semantics anymore. If they can get to Ethan Small, and not even like get to him, like rough him up, if it's 2-1 and he leaves in the 7th inning and they find a way to win that game, I think they'll win the Super. But I don't know if they will. You know, Ethan Small is unreal. He's been absolutely unhittable all season long.
Literally. I think he gets like 2.5 strikeouts an inning, it feels like.
It's freaking stupid. Yeah. So, but I agree. You hit it on the head. Do not take Stanford lightly. I think people have taken them lightly. I think a lot of Mississippi State fans wanted this matchup. And I think it's be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Mississippi State is gonna win, it's gonna be like the guy. It's gonna be a total war.
Wait, you know what this reminds me of? And it literally just hit me on the head. This reminds me a lot. And Mississippi State fans are gonna either love this comment or hate it. This reminds me a lot of last year's Super Regional where Mississippi State went to Vanderbilt.
And
everybody was high on Vanderbilt. Everybody kind of laughed at Mississippi State being like, I think they were a 3 seed last year, maybe a 2, I don't remember. But they came out of that Florida State regional like just barely, like literally just barely, thanks to Elijah McNamee.
Yeah.
And
they were the 2.
They were the 2, you're right. And I'm sure the Vanderbilt people were like, yes, like give us Mississippi State. Like we've beaten them this year. Like we don't want to see Florida State. Like that's a very talented group. And be careful what you wish for. Like this is the roles reverse. Like Mississippi State was a really good team last year. Nobody kind of took them seriously. They had a down year. They had an interim coach, that whole spiel. But Stanford this year reminds me a lot of like Mississippi State last year where they had some thunder. They had a lot of just players.
You know what? I'm going to jump in and say if there is a team that is overlook. If it's possible to overlook a team in a super regional matchup, I think Mississippi State's the team that's overlooking more than anyone.
Right, but let's go back. let me end this real fast and say this. Mississippi State definitely has the players who do not overlook like teams. Like you, I guarantee you, Jake Mangum, Ethan Small, Tanner Allen, Elijah McNamee, JT Ginn, like those guys don't overlook anybody. Like they, I don't think they do, man. Like if there was a team to overlook, it would have been like Miami last week.
And then, dude, I think they were excited when they saw they were going to match up with Stanford, and I think that while it borders on confidence, Stanford is not your little brother.
True.
You know, right? Like, right. I think if you were excited to see this matchup, no, they're not your little brother.
Stanford's like the brother that is like naturally just gifted and smarter than you and everything, but doesn't try as hard, like doesn't play a hard non-conference schedule. But then like you see him like just low, like lollygagging around the basketball court, and you're like, hey man, let's play one-on-one, let's see who the better brother is at basketball, and he just whoops you, like just like dunks on you and stuff like that. Stanford's that type of brother where like they don't try as hard, they're quiet, they don't do much, they don't get the publicity, and then all of a sudden it's like bang.
Well, you know what, I will, we watched Mississippi State play in the SEC tournament and in the regionals. If they throw Jared Leibitt against the lefty power bats of Stanford, they will lose. They will lose. Don't do it.
Ooh, wait, why do you say that?
I've looked at his numbers. He's a righty. He's got a giant – he's a huge two-seam sinker guy. It's unreal. It's nasty. It's wiffle ball-like, but it doesn't get lefties out. Because you can't throw inside. What are you going to do? Front door. What are you going to do? Consistently front door for called strikes. Two seams to lefties means you're starting the ball 8 inches off the inside corner. It ain't going to happen.
Right. Now, that was my favorite pitch to hit as a left-handed hitter. Like anytime they threw a two seam that started in and then just went right to the middle of the plate, like that's what happens. Like you either miss and hit the guy or you miss over the middle of the plate. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like you, there's not any wiggle room. Like
I've seen them go to him in key situations against lefties before. They should not do that. They really should not do that. Go to Cole Gordon. Go to Riley. Go to anyone else. Don't do that against lefties. I mean, I know they have the numbers against it. I mean, I don't know why they keep doing it. He just doesn't have enough to consistently get the outs that you need in high leverage situations.
Yeah.
Like a 17% strikeout rate is not good enough in high leverage situations.
True.
It's just not. You pair that up with 10% walk rate, not good enough. Not good enough. And the extra base hits are there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the extra against lefties. But that's just my little baseball segment. We talk baseball every once in a while. We maybe should have done it more this season, but hey, it is what it is.
I think we did enough. All right, last super regional, we have Auburn and the UNC Tar Heels. Auburn, there's two different stories here. We had Auburn just roll through the Atlanta regional as a two seed, very under-respected, and because, I mean, they were a top 15 team.
They underperformed all season long, had injuries.
Had injuries, and then you see just the real team, and that's a scary thought if you're UNC. But UNC had a little scare with UNCW, pulled off a miraculous win, game one of the regional. Yeah, and then they get Liberty game two. Take care of Liberty, and then they get Tennessee for game three after Tennessee just played one of the most weird, I would call it, one of the weirdest games I've ever seen.
One of the most college baseball-esque games.
Yeah, and so they got Tennessee kind of on a low note. But anyways, so UNC and Auburn play. This will be fun because I'm excited to see Tanner Burns pitch. I'm excited to see Jack Owens pitch. But then you got, like, the freshman studs of UNC. Sabato, I believe his name is.
Aaron Sabato. The Italian guys from North Carolina, they do Italian kisses when they greet each other. It's kind of funny.
Oh, my gosh. That's weird, man.
Dude, it's not real kisses. It's just, like, mafia stuff.
I'm thinking of French kisses.
No, I said Italian, man.
I know. I don't know the difference.
Well, one's Italian. One's the one. Never mind. This is a family show. We're not
family here. Show. Go for it. So I'll give me your thoughts first, since you do have North Carolina winning it all in your bracket.
Yes. Not nervous.
Not nervous? You think UNC takes care of business?
Yeah. It might go three games. It might be one of those things where it's like two blowouts in a one-run game.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. I think Auburn gets one of the first two, maybe two of the first two. UNC, I think it probably ranks like fifth or sixth best home field advantage out of these regionals. So nothing to like, nothing Auburn hasn't seen this year. Auburn's going to travel well. I think it's like 5-6 hours to UNC. If I had to pick, I should have thought about this, but I didn't, because this was the last super regional, and I.
You almost called it a regional.
I've said it like 10 times. I'm an idiot. I'll take Auburn. Why not? They're an SEC team. They have seen the best of the best. They're not going to be scared. They haven't played their best baseball yet. They have two of the best starting pitchers we're going to see out of any of these teams. So
you make a good point, but the Tar Heels look good, and I'm rolling with
my the board. Tar Heels. 3 and 4 hitters are freshmen, which someone argues a good thing, someone argues a bad thing.
They're freshmen only in how many college hours they have. They are elite talent. We saw Seth Beer come out of. He's supposed to be a senior in high school and just absolutely rake.
Yeah.
These guys aren't technically as good as Seth Beer, but they're pretty damn close.
Yeah, I would agree. So cool. We agreed on some of these. We disagreed on some. We were very hard to choose some of these. But anyways, I think if we had to redo the bracket all over again, I'm going to roll with Texas Tech as my national champion. But I still have Louisville in my bracket, so that's got to mean something. See what I did there, James? I tricked the fans into like letting me have two national champions so that if one of the two wins, I can say, look, I told you. See, I told you. Just play it safe. You cut your odds in half. I have a 1 in 8 chance.
It's kind of like you write a true false with like a curved F, but like mm-hmm.
You should do it all the time.
Yeah. False true. True.
True. All right. If you had to redo the bracket, who are you picking as your national champion?
I'm more convinced it's North Carolina. The path sets up better now. They're hosting
shut
at home.
Up.
They're hosting
to
at home
win
now.
The national championship.
Oh my goodness.
You think they're beating Ethan Small game one of the College World Series?
I kind of wrote it down, didn't I?
You're ridiculous. All right. Well, James is rolling with
you
UNC.
You underestimate Mike Fox.
So next week on Sunday night or Monday night, whenever we do the next show, and Auburn advances out of the Super Regional, who are you going to pick?
What do you mean? Like between who? Like the remaining 8 teams?
Yeah. Like when UNC doesn't win their own Super Regional, I want you to have another national championship pick for me, okay?
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a waste of time. It's not going to happen. But okay.
You sicken me, James Berry. We really don't have time for our draft talk.
No, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, let's do like a 60-second draft talk. Ready, set, go.
It's a huge decision, and if you're a college coach, you need to have a plan for these kids. You need to let them. It's your job to convince these 18-year-olds why they should go to your school instead of the one 2 hours down the road that has just as much money, just as much of a fan base, just as qualified as coaches. And the fact that, you have to lay out how you're going to make them better. What is your plan for them? If your plan for them is, you know, to coach them up in batting practice and to have them spend extra time in the cage, and that if they don't translate it, it's a mental problem, and that if their first 20 at-bats don't go the right way, then you'll play someone else, then that's not a good plan. And these kids have the option of getting paid multi-million dollars and, you know, traveling through middle of nowhere parts of the country, or they can go to college. But those are their options, and I think the best coaches understand that, and they do have plans, and they do want the kids to be there, and they want the best for them, and they view them as not just assets, but as lifelong relationships, because that's what this game is all about, is the relationships you build with
right.
the people. So there you go.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to do my quick 30-second segment. If you're a college coach, you can't sell them on the money. You got to take money out of their mind because, they could sign a piece of paper right now and, get $1.5 million in their bank account. But you got to sell them on the emotional side of things. You got to sell them on the, intangibles, the stuff like the college atmosphere, the college lifestyle. You don't want to go the rest of your life regretting, not spending time as
you can meet your wife at college.
Yeah. And it's the best time of your life, especially being a star player on your athletic team. People know who you are. You're recognizable. You're basically a celebrity inside of, 25, 30,000 kids. And you sell them on the experience of you get to play in front of sold out crowds at LSU or Mississippi State. You get to have a chance to enhance your value, become a better player, sign for more money 3 years down the road. And you also just got to sell them on the fact that I know this might cut deep into some people, but if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. Destiny will lead you where it needs to be. And if you sit back and think if I sign now, then my life starts one direction. If I don't sign now, it goes a different direction. No, think of it as one path, one solid path. This is just a part of it. You make a decision, and the decision that you make is supposed to happen. And I think most times people would say, I want to be a college student. I want to have that college lifestyle. I want to build relationships with friends that I'll have forever. And I won't do that in the minor leagues because people get moved up and down, cut, promoted all the time. And you just don't have the time to sit in a dorm room and you just bro out with your boys and, have fun, go to parties, go eat out, go eat in the calf, do just fun 20-year-old stuff. And I think the best coaches get that message across, and then the worst coaches just view their players as assets, and that's why they leave for money. So that's our draft talk. And that's a good place to end the show. But you guys enjoy your college baseball today. We have 4 games today, 8 tomorrow, and at least 4 more on Sunday. We'll be back maybe tomorrow night, maybe Saturday night. I don't know. We'll see. We pick and choose now. A lot of games going on. But thanks for listening.